First Timothy chapter 4. I want to look at what I started with last night. Training yourself to receive divine guidance. And I want to talk, I'm going to have two different sessions today on the same issue. But in the second session, I will be talking about pastoring. But before I go into pastoring, I want to talk about the Christian life first. So then we now relate with pastoring. So pay very good attention. We just prayed the Pauline prayers. The result of those prayers are received as we listen. And so you must ensure that you listen very well. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and then verse 7. I'll start from 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, that's good teaching, whereunto thou hast attained. If you observe what he was relating with, he was telling Timothy to put the brethren in remembrance of instructions. Because those are the things that Paul actually passed across to Timothy. In fact, by the time we read verse 15, when he says, meditate upon these things, give yourself wholly unto them, that thy profiting may appear unto all, he was referring to instructions, the things he instructed him to do. And that's why we say oftentimes that the life of a minister is in how he takes heed to instructions. Hallelujah. So 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7 now says, but refuse profane and old wives' fables. As a preacher of the gospel, as a believer, you must have things you don't do. You must have things you don't listen to. You must have things that don't catch your fancy. You can't have an open heart for everything. One of the traits of spiritual development is the ability to distinguish. Also, the ability to say no. You must be able to say no. And that's why I tell a lot of younger preachers, I say it like this. At a young age, set your sail. Make up your mind what you will not do. Tell yourself what will not be found in your ministry, no matter the pressures, no matter the situation, no matter the stage you are found in ministry. This does not take away the fact that you keep learning, you keep growing, but there are some things that are non-negotiable. Set your seal. Listen very well. And very, very well, you should. There are some things you must say no. No to. I had a preacher of the gospel that we're relating very well. In fact, he had given me opportunities to hold crusades. He's one of the leading evangelists around the world. He has held meetings where up to 1 million people were in the crusade ground. So we kind of bonded in 2009, 2010, began to relate. And so he made me even speak with one of the patriarchs of the faith movement. So we're relating very well. He sent me his book. Great. And we said, look, we're going to have crusades in different places. I said, I don't travel too much, but I can make do with this and make do with that. But then I noticed that he was someone who had the materialistic gospel. If our Pastor Lala is not here, she had a first-hand experience of something he did Maybe he felt because I was younger and then he was going to give me opportunities to preach. And then I said, sir, to hell with the opportunities. I'm quoting myself verbatim. To hell. And I cut off. That was in 2013. January or February, I can't remember. I said, to hell with it. If I need to preach this kind of false gospel to be popular, that means God doesn't want me to be popular. God doesn't use lies to promote anybody. I said, to hell. In fact, I'd written the mail before I showed one of the persons that I relate with in accountability. So he said, Sheku, you had already written this. I said, I'm sorry, I had to write it. Because I'd sent money to the ministry. It was my wife that transferred the money. I sent money to the ministry. Then he started to say some things to twist the gospel. I said, I didn't know you were like this. To hell with all the opportunities that come with you. Hallelujah. You must have things you refuse. Glory to his name. Don't because of platforms betray your convictions. Things you know are true. If you have to betray your conviction for a platform, that platform is not the will of God. Did you hear what I just said? It's not the will of God. I'm not saying you have to preach in places that they have to believe what you believe. Don't get me wrong. In fact, if you only have to preach in places where they believe what you believe, then how will the word of God grow? My point is, do not negotiate away your convictions based on such opportunities. I've been around for a few years, so I know the game. Just a few years. But I can tell you the game. Never do it. Don't be rude to anybody. Don't isolate yourself. Me and the preacher, we still, hello, how are you? But he respects me very well. To hell with everything that comes with you. Makes no difference. Because that's what the word of God says. It says, from such, what do? You withdraw. You don't pray. Nobody told you to pray. If you are praying for someone who is a huckster, someone who peddles the gospel, you are praying in disobedience. You are to walk away. And that gospel is so awful. I was sharing with some Brother Hagin, the minute he wrote the Midas touch, the attendance at camp meeting, Kenneth Hagin camp meeting, dropped by 70%. A meeting that used to have 20,000 people hardly had 3,000. But he died a man of honor. That's what is important. Those that feast on people's ignorance and stupidity and greed, it lives with them. Their reward is with them. Let them enjoy the fame. Let them enjoy the crowd. Everything will soon come to an end. If not now, someday, somehow. You can't be here forever. Is that not true? It will come to an end someday. We read it yesterday. All flesh is as grass. Is that not true? So there must be things you refuse to know. It must not be part of my message. We all make mistakes. We're all ignorant of one thing or the other. I'm learning. There are things I still don't know. That's not what we're dealing with now. Ignorance is not why people peddle the gospel. That's not ignorance. A man can preach that if you don't get baptized with water, you are not confirmed as a Christian, and we're excusing. But by the time you start to peddle the gospel for money, that is not ignorance. Are you listening to what I'm saying? You start to attach $91 to Psalm 91. That's a huckster. You withdraw. You don't pray. You don't even try to listen to the sermon to say, I can take away the... You are treading on dangerous grounds and you are living in disobedience. You walk away. I told the preacher, I said, if this is what I have to preach to have money in ministry, let our ministry remain poor forever. And I mean it. You have to decide. It has to be your own decision. I know in Africa, many of us, based on the economic situation in Africa, we have things of greed and covetousness. That is why many people read about a Ponzi scheme and they still got into it. And they will be convincing you. That's it. Because there's a lot of economic challenges here. So people are looking for a way out. And church happens to be one very easy way out to do that. So as a young preacher, you're also in the hurry, you graduate from school, you want to have a car the next year, you want to have a house the next year, you say, what do I do? I'm a preacher. Let me see how I can go about it. Then you go to a ministry conference and they tell you that for every vision there's a provision. That the marks of the apostle is the fact that the nations will give to him. We begin to hear all those yeah sermons. They just came to inspire your greed. Listen to me. We are all human beings. The desire to have comes with humanity. We don't need a pastor to help us inspire it more. You have to have what you refuse. Praise the Lord. I was talking with a preacher and we were talking about a teaching. And he said, do you know how much I have in my ministry? I said, did I ask you for money? He said, why are you talking like that? I said, did I ask you for money? He said, when we're talking Bible, stop talking money. They are not the same. I said, how much do you have, Seth? The truth. To anybody who preaches all this theology, doctrine, their ministry does not reach the world. I said, return this statement. What do you mean? I said, in Yoruba. It's true. Nonsense. You belong to that group. God bless you. What are you talking about? It takes a man who does not understand Christ to use material things to judge a ministry success. You don't know anything. You don't know anything. You have to know your onions. You have to know what you cannot bow to. It must be a decision. We read about Elijah. He said, everyone has bowed to Baal except myself. And we ignore it. It's a lesson to learn from. That you can stand out. Hallelujah. You can say no. That's not my subject anyway. I just had to say that. But if you use profane and old wise fables and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Paul says here to Timothy, he says, exercise thyself rather unto calling. Now listen carefully. You know, something important here is that Every time I read these letters to Timothy, you know, it amazes me to know that Paul was writing to a pastor. He was just talking about the normal Christian life. The way you grow is what? Is the way you grow. Exercise yourself. The difference between exercising yourself and doing something is that you can do something and not exercise yourself. You can go for a prayer meeting and you have a great experience. You can go for evangelism and you had a nice time. But exercise yourself means you will give yourself to it. You will practice it often. You will train yourself with it. That's the difference. Exercise thyself unto godliness. He says, train yourself. The word exercise there has to do with activities. Some people say, spirituality is not activity. Then what is it? Passivity? Spirituality is seen in activity. Exercise yourself means train yourself. Get involved in certain activities. You must exercise yourself. Train yourself. Practice these things. The same way a footballer, before a game, he's out there practicing, and during the game, he's doing exactly what he practiced. Afterwards, he's still doing it. You exercise yourself. Spiritual things are not hobbies. They are necessities. It's not a hobby. That's what guys say, what are your hobbies? Say prayer. Say you are tired. How can prayer be a hobby? Now put prayer, traveling, eating. Why not? I've been stupid too. So watch this now. You exercise yourself. You know, we're talking about training yourself to listen to the Spirit. To listen to divine direction. Now, because we are in a ministry retreat and conference, I will let you see something in the book of Acts. Don't forget the instruction says to exercise yourself. Train yourself. Look at the book of Acts. Acts 1. How important is guidance, divine leading, in the life of a minister? Whether you're a pastor, you're an associate pastor, you're on mission work, you're a cell leader, how important is guidance? Look at Acts 1. They wanted to pick someone to replace Judas. And the Bible says in verse 24, there are two people. One of them was Barnabas, the other one was Justus, called Matthias. Verse 24 says, they prayed and they said, thou Lord. Now, forget the other things they did after, but a key element in what I want us to look at is, before they took that decision, they prayed. They engaged themselves in a spiritual activity. You don't take natural means to achieve spiritual purposes. Let's follow this a bit more. They prayed. Now, look at Acts 5. In Acts chapter 5, when Peter and John were put behind bars, the Bible says, no, Peter this time around was put behind bars. The Bible says in verse 18, and they laid their hands on the apostles, put them in the common prison. And the angel of the Lord by night, please pay good attention here, opened the prison, Acts 5:19, and brought them forth. So there was deliverance, okay, from the captivity. Then he said, go, stand, and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. You can easily lose that, because that deliverance was not the end. It was a means to an end. The angel used that opportunity to give them direction. Go and speak to these people the words of this life. Listen carefully. In chapter 8, you know, chapter 1, they prayed, cast lots. Chapter 5, an angel spoke to them. Then chapter 8, because they were growing in the things of the Spirit. Obviously, they were growing, developing, and getting better. The Bible says Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ, you know, unto them in verse 5. And then the events, how he got the whole city to give attention to the word, and they believed the gospel. And then, you know, many were healed. Then he called Peter and John to come and lay hands on people to be filled with the Holy Ghost, and so on and so forth. Now again, look at verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, go towards the south, verse 26, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem, and unto Gaza, which is the desert. You see again, direction. There's a general instruction for all of us to take the gospel to the whole world. But then, with that, we must listen for specific directions. You must train yourself to recognize it. There was a general instruction. Go to all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Excellent. And there are now specific instructions to you in a place of ministry. Watch this now. So the angel, he rose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, verse 27, and Enoch of great authority under Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who had the charge of all our treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Look at verse, let's see verse 29 together. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Notice this. Direction can be in phases. The first thing was, go to the desert. You can assume that go to the desert means go and start a church there. Don't be forward. He waited for clarity. After he go to the desert, they said, see, that chariot, join yourself to it. And that shows you something. In following divine leading, you must not be forward. Be a little bit slow. Don't assume what you don't know. Am I making any sense here? Don't assume what you don't know. He listened. He went. And then, observe something. This was in the middle of a big revival, as it were. It takes a man who has trained himself to listen to God, to leave the euphoria, to leave what was happening in Samaria and go to the desert. In fact, today we say So his ministry has gone down. But he listened. To the glory of God, that obedience has become a reference point for thousands of years. God, many times will use your obedience, not just for you, but for several others that you might not see. That's why I told you, the proof of obedience is the obedience itself. Never forget that. Now, whilst the Enoch, you know, an Enoch, a man of great authority, a wealthy man, a man of influence. I don't know about you, but if I get someone like that born again, I'm likely going to follow him home to do follow up. The guy says, "Ah, I'm so blessed." I say, he says, "Can you come with me?" I say, "Ah, if you say so." And then you go to his house. Then he says, he opens you up to his family. Then, you know, and you think that that's success in ministry. But look at what happened. As he led the man to the Lord, and he came out of the water, he baptized him with water. The Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, and the Enoch saw him no more. Did he exchange numbers? Email address? He just went. Sometimes that's all God wants you to do. Say, "No, but we want the word to go out. We want to take spiritual." That's all God wants you to do. See, I'm going to talk about this later. You must never substitute the work of the Holy Spirit with your common sense. Don't do it. Many of us try to take over the work of the Holy Spirit. I was saying that on Tuesday when we're going to evangelism. Don't make people confess Jesus. Don't say after them, or let them say after you, or say after each other. Let people's convictions be found in their words. You preach the gospel. Don't lead him into prayer. Don't let him say what he does not believe. Allow the work of the Holy Spirit. Are you there? Are you following what I'm saying? Don't put common sense where the work of the Spirit of God should be allowed. And don't put the work of the Spirit where you have to use common sense. Imagine, you would have said, what else should I do here? I'm in high demand in this place. I'm in high demand. I've said this many times. There's not one Saints Community Church that was planted on purpose. It's not wrong to plant on purpose, don't get me wrong. No. It just happens. And that's just, sometimes we try to do things. I remember we were trying to do something last year and we already planned. And then those who work with me know I'll just be quiet. They'll say I won't talk about it again. I will have planned. So there's nothing I plan that I cannot change. I'll just keep quiet. And you observe those things now happen the way the Lord wants it. They eventually happen. The way he wants it. How he wants it. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean if you go in the flesh, you will not have success. You can have success. But that success did not come from God. He didn't lead you. He didn't. So, pay attention here. In the midst of this revival. So he goes, witnesses to this man, and the Spirit called him all away. He just left. And he was found at Asotos, passing through the priests in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. He just left. There are people all God wants you to do for them is just impact their lives and they go and start whatever God wants them to do. That's all. They don't have to be your branch pastors. No. You have to follow the leading of the Spirit. Are you listening to what I'm saying here? Many times, you have some folks say, well, sir, we want you to come and preach for us. There was a person I preached for in 1998. I taught on confession of faith. It was a Friday evening at a convention. The man now called me on Sunday. He said, I should come and teach in his church for 2 weeks. I said, am I taking over the church too? They said, come and be preaching. Come and be teaching. And I asked us. I said, look. I tell a lot of young ministers and friends. I said, I don't have to come to your church. Don't get it wrong. You can teach in your church. All I'll do is to put you through by the word of God. That is God's work in your life. You go and do it. It's not about me coming to preach in your church. It's about the word of God being taught in your church and God can use anybody. Is that very clear? So we have something to learn from here. One thing about divine guidance is that you are at peace. You are not struggling with anybody. You are not. Praise the Lord. I often laugh when some people try to prevent their members or people they know from listening to our ministry. I say, give them time. They will hear it. The Holy Spirit will make it happen. Hallelujah. It's already happening. He'll make it happen. So, learn to follow divine guidance. In Acts chapter 9, a man by the name of Ananias, again, he saw the Lord. He had saw the Lord in the vision of verse 10. He said, Ananias, and he said, Lord, here I am, Lord. Then he says to him in verse 11, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. Then he tells him in verse 15, go your way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he will suffer for my namesake. Divine direction. Divine direction. You should be preaching to everybody. Get everybody filled with the Holy Ghost. But there are some people that the Lord will send you at some time specifically to. Say, go to that person now. Pick up the phone and call that brother now. You must know how to yield to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Many of us, because we are trained ourselves to be using philosophy and psychology, people's lives have wasted that we ought to have reached out to. That's very important. This was specific. Go to this house. Now, if Ananias had not been trained to recognize divine direction, he wouldn't know what to do about this. He might not even know anything was happening to him. Look at Acts 10, the very next chapter. The gospel that went to the Gentiles. The first thing that happened was that Peter had a vision. As he was still thinking over that vision in verse 19, while Peter taught on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise, verse 20, therefore, and get thee down. Go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Divine direction. It's so important in ministry. Let me ask you a question. Was Peter lazy in the ministry? No. Was he inactive? No. Was Ananias inactive? No. Was Philip inactive? No. So it was not that they were lazy. It's just that there are certain times you are given specific direction. You must know how to listen for it. You must know how to hear it. You must know how to respond to it. And he went. The house of Cornelius. In Acts 11. A man by the name of Agabus, the Bible says in verse 9, 28, he stood up and then signified by the Spirit that there should be a great death throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Seeking direction. Direction is so important in ministry. You cannot do without it. Look at Acts 13. Acts 13 verse 2. I'll start from verse 1. Now there was in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, which was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manahin, which had been brought up with the heir of the Tetrarch. Scripture says, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas, and Saul for the work whereto I have called them. Let me ask you again, were these people active in ministry here? So, this was not a call to the ministry. This was direction in ministry. They were active. They were already teaching, winning souls, blessing lives, healing the sick, and open for divine leading. You cannot afford not to know how to recognize the leading of the Spirit. You can't afford it. It's costly. It's expensive. They were active. And that's something you have to note again. I'll talk about that later. You have to recognize the place of being active. No matter how many hours or days you spend in this convention, you still have to go out. Is that not true? It's when you are out that you will be in the true life tests. In between all the numerous things you are doing, you will have to still listen. And know the direction is leading you. Those of you who are pastors in our church, I always tell you, wherever you are pastoring, you listen out for what the Spirit of God is telling you. Of course, you check with me and tell me, but you must know how to recognize the leading of the Spirit of God in your congregation. You must know it. If you have to call pastor every now and then, there's a problem. You must know how to recognize it. I'm going to talk about that when we talk about pastoring much later. Look at this. Acts 13. And this was so important to the ministry of Paul. The Bible says, and they've been sent forth by the Holy Ghost. Verse 4, departed unto Seleucia. You have to know how to respond to divine guidance, divine direction. Look at Acts 16. Acts 16. Here's Paul. In verse 17, the Bible says, the same followed Paul, and us, and he cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, being grieved, he's grieved, and turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. He recognized the emotion of his spirit. You have to know your spirit. Born of God. You have to know the signs. You have to know when some things, what am I doing here? What am I getting myself involved with? You have to know. Ministry is not just doing. Ministry has a part of listening. Specific. Again, Acts 16. We checked this a couple of times. Acts 16, Before this, the Bible says in verse 6, and when they had gone throughout Phrygia, Acts 16, and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. I shared that with you the other day. I mean, the Holy Ghost said, don't go and preach. The Holy Ghost said, don't write the book. The Holy Ghost said, don't go on television. But sir, say, don't go on television. Brother Hagin said how the Lord told him what to do in ministry. He told him how restricted he will be. There's a country he was called to come and preach. All the ministers, the prominent ministers of the country, they put money together, they try to lure him. Sir, we'll do this, we'll fly with a private jet. He said, the Lord didn't ask me to come. I don't know about you, but I'll tell you the truth. I will struggle with the Lord. Lord, 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 can't you see what they are saying? Listen very well, I think you are somewhere else. Listen to what they are saying. When I look at how his books and materials touch the whole world without leaving America. Many people who go from country to country don't have half of that impact. Then I know it's true. A man must learn to be led by the Spirit of God. It's important. So do not preach the word in Asia. Verse 7 says, and they were come to Mysia, they are said to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit did not allow them. In verse 9, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over unto Macedonia and help us. You see, there's so much importance that we see here in ministry about guidance. You must learn it. Stop looking for success keys, success buttons, success shirts, success doors, success padlock. You don't need all those kind of things. Go and learn how to be led by the Spirit of God. Are you listening to what I'm saying here? In Acts 18, before we go to Acts 18, Acts 17, the Bible says about Paul in verse 16, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him. He knew how to recognize the promptings of the Spirit. His spirit was stirred in him. You have to recognize that. Acts 18, verse 5. And when Silas and Timothy was come from Macedonia, Paul pressed in the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. Guidance. Divine promptings. Look at verse 9. Then speak the Lord to Paul in night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with you. And no man shall set on thee to hurt you, for I have much people in this city. It's all over the book of Acts. Either by visions, divinely granted appearances, angels, or what we call the inward witness. You can't do without it. You can't run ministry by watching other ministers and what they do. You'll be in a rat race. You'll be in a rat race. A pastor told me how he preached for a particular preacher. And he was not the only person who told me this. The preacher will be asking the invited ministers, what do you think about our church? What areas do you think we need to improve? Why are you putting yourself under pressure? Are you following God's plan for your life? Do that. Praise the Lord. Many of you who are young folks don't know that age is on your side. Don't be in a hurry. Learn to be led by the Spirit of God. Look at this again. Acts 20, verse 22. It's Paul speaking here. He says, and now behold, I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me. He knew in his spirit where he should go. He had churches he could stay on and be general overseer and be holding conferences there every now and then. But he had direction to go and do something for the Lord. You must realize the importance of this. Again, Acts 21. I'm going to touch on this one later. Acts 21. You'll find out the scenarios in verse 4. Finding disciples retired there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. Then you see in verse 9, there was a Philip also did prophesy to him. Then you see in verse 10, 11, you find Agabus also prophesied to him. I said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man and hold at this garden, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Guidance. Acts 22, verse 18. This is Paul again. Look at verse 17. It came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. And I saw him saying unto me, make haste. This is Paul describing his experience. Quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. Direction. Look at verse 21. And he said to me, depart, for I will send thee far ends unto the Gentiles. Chapter 23 again. And in the night, following the Lord, stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must you bear witness also at Rome. There's divine direction all through the things that they did. They led by the Spirit of God, knowing how to yield to the promptings of the Spirit, knowing how to receive divine direction. One more, look at Acts 28:27. When they had the accident, Paul said in verse 23, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God has given thee all them that sail with thee. Direction. In the midst of tumult, in the midst of trouble, there was direction. You have to learn and learn it well. That if there's anyone who needs to know and train himself or herself on how to listen to the leading of the Spirit, it is that fellow who is a pastor, a minister, or engaged in the work of the ministry. You must learn it. You must know it. Psalm 127 verse 1 said, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. It's not only the Lord that builds houses. Men build houses. But it says the man who, what does it mean to labor in vain? Vain is often used in scripture for what is temporary. In other words, you can build a house and it's very popular and you have worldwide acclaim and that's all to it. But there are some houses that you build on earth. When you get to heaven, you still see them. Hallelujah. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Personally, as a minister, since 1997, I think, there are 3 books of Kenneth Hagin that I always, you know, recommend it for many ministers. How to be led by the Spirit of God, following God's plans for your life, plans, purposes, and pursuits. I make it as a duty as a pastor, every year, to teach along those lines. I'll recommend the same thing for you. Alright, let's go. You need to learn that. You don't know. You need to know and know how to be led by the Spirit of God. Don't just be, you just want to hear forgiveness of sins. Some of you, that's all you want to hear. Is sin such a problem for you? Forgiveness of sins, sanctification. I'm sanctified forever, 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 forever. What about the leading of the Spirit? What about the inward witness? What about prayer? What about walking in love? Walking in the Spirit? What about living a life of sacrifice? What about enduring hardship? What about evangelism? What about giving? Those are the fruits of that forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. Are you still there? First Timothy 4:7. Exercise yourself on the godliness. Divine leading is godliness. Exercise yourself. Train yourself. I want to share a couple of very vital truths about that shortly. Let's look at the life of Jesus. Jesus was someone who always listened. He always walked under divine guidance. Look at John's Gospel, chapter 10. Chapter 11, verse 41. This was at the tomb of Lazarus, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that you hear me always." Notice that. Why would he say, "You hear me always"? That means Jesus learned the heart of communing with the Father always. You cannot underplay communion and expect to recognize divine leading. For example, if you don't call me, you can't hear me. If you don't talk on the phone, you can't hear my voice. If you don't talk with me, we cannot talk with each other. If you're always away from where I am, there's no way you can hear what I'm saying. Why did I say that? If you are not given to activities that puts you in a position to hear from God, divine direction will look like rocket science to you. Why did Jesus say this? Look at the first major activity we see about Jesus. Look at Luke's Gospel chapter 3 verse 21. Luke's Gospel 3 verse 21. The Bible says, as he was to be baptized by John, he was praying. Was he praying for the water not to be cold? I'm asking the question. Was he praying? No. It means prayer was a lifestyle. A man that will walk in divine guidance must be given to prayer. It's not television. You're always watching TV. You're always on Facebook. When would you have time to pray? When do you have time to pray? You're always on Twitter. You're always watching TV. You're always with friends. He was praying. Look at Luke 5:16. Let's see the kind of prayer life he had. I was reading together. Luke 5:16. The Bible says in verse 60, let's go, come on. And he what? Come on everybody, let's take it. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. That is, he left where people were. He withdrew himself and prayed. In the Matthew's account, Matthew 14:23, Matthew says he sent the people away. In practical, he said, "Please, I need time for myself." That's God in the flesh. Please guys, can you please leave my house? Can you please give me some time? Jesus never hid the fact that his a major principle of his lifestyle was communion in prayer. He never hid it. You will see it. This is an example of taking a personal retreat. Spend time to pray. Look at Luke's Gospel 6 verse 20. We'll also read this one together. Verse 12. Are you there? Did you observe, and I want you to notice this. The first time we read about the fact that he withdrew himself in Luke 5 and in Matthew 14, it was after a great miracle. He wasn't praying to prepare for a program. Then after the program, he goes to rest. You understand that? You understand that? He prayed, had the program. After the program, he sends the program attendees away so that he can have time again to pray. Watch this. Let's take verse 12 together. And it came to pass in those days. Everybody, come on. He went where? And continued? Along all night. Now the Jewish measurement of night starts from where? Till what time? 6. So we can say he prayed for 12 hours. A culture. 12 hours. What's that? That's Jesus. Ah, me, I'm in him. I've heard more ridiculous things. I'm in him prayed. He has prayed for me. He has done all things. Finished works. You must be given to prayer. So he was given to prayer. Don't forget what we're talking about. Exercising yourself under divine direction. How to listen. How to yield. How to recognize. Let's look at some fundamental activities. Fundamental activities. Someone told me, he said, when I want to know God's direction in ministry, he said he watches football. So when I saw his church, I said, it's true. Another one said that he reads mafia novels. There are a lot of pastors that read this book, 48 Laws of Power. I was in a meeting with a bishop and another pastor, and we were talking, and the man shook his head. The man shook his head severally. I was wondering why he was shaking his head. He said, if you know what I have seen. I said, what is it? He said, I went to meet someone I wanted to be my father in the Lord. And I said, sir, what is the secret of your ministry? The man smiled. He said, come next week. Then I came. He said, what's the secret? He said, come again. He's deliberate. By the time he now came, he said, come into my study. He said, he gave him a very big file, books about mafia. He said, study it. You can't run a ministry like I'm running, this big, and not understand control. Serious. You have to understand how they do it.
You have some, you read 48 Laws of Power by Robert Greene. Number one, never outshine the master. I know that one very well. I've never read the material before, but I heard that one very, never outshine the master. Keep your enemies close. Forgive, but don't forget. Is he not there? If you don't know, if he's not there, how did you know? I don't know what is there. Shocking. So, what are the kind of activities that I need to do? Sometimes when some young ministers come to meet me, sir, I want you to share some things. Some deep things. They get disappointed. There was one in Ibadan came to my house and he said, sir, show me the secret. He frowned his face. He looked so serious. I said, that table. He said, what was there? My Bible. Study it. Pray. He said, ah, sir, is that all? I said, come. We looked under the bed. Is there anything there? I said, there's nothing. I said, look, there was one cloth hanger. I said, open it. Is there anything there? He said, no. I said, I don't have anything. You know that we're going to a closet? Hold on. You're wise. Close your eyes. You see it? Calm down. Simple things. Sometimes we make Christianity complicated. Hallelujah. Number one, meditate on the word actively. Meditate on the word of God actively. Meditation means to ponder, to think through the word. Put it first place in your mind and in your decisions. You know why? Because the number one place of guidance to the believer is the written word. Meditate upon it. The written word is the living word speaking to you. Meditate upon it. 1 Timothy 4:16 says, meditate upon these things. Give yourself wholly unto them, that your profiting may appear unto all. The same instructions were given to Joshua concerning the law. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Thou shalt meditate day and night and observe to do all that is written therein. Then you will make your way prosperous and have good success. Psalm 1, verse 1 says, blessed is the man that walks under the counsel of the ungodly. Nor sit in the seat of scornful, nor stands in the way of sinners, but is delighted to the law of the Lord, and in this law does he meditate day and night. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 24, Jesus says, take heed what you hear, that you hear. The Amplified says, the measure of thought and study you give to what you hear, it is the virtue that is returned again unto you. You must learn to think through the word. Meditate. Think through the word of God. When you meditate, you are knocking the door of your spirit. Meditate on the word. Ponder over it. Learn to ponder over things you hear in church. Learn to ponder over instructions. Don't just remember instructions for information's sake. Go beyond that. And think through what you were told. Think through the teaching. When you study God's word and you study scriptures, think through it very well. Like I often say, pay attention to details. Meditation allows you to see the details. Sometimes what we are looking for was never lost. You learn to meditate. Think through God's word. Ponder over it. Muse on it. Get into it. Stay on it. Hallelujah. Meditate. Have some time during the day, you just sit back and think through God's word. Have times you're driving, you are being driven, you're just thinking through God's word. You are practicing how to recognize the leading of the Spirit. Because the written word is the leading of the Spirit. Meditate upon it. Number two. Pray much in the Spirit. We thought that earlier, but I want to make an emphasis on praying much in tongues. Pray much in tongues. You know why? Because since we're talking about the leading of the Spirit, and praying in tongues is praying in the Spirit, there's no better way to recognize the leading of the Spirit than praying in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Pray much in tongues. In 1 Corinthians 14 verse 18, Paul says, I thank my God, I pray in tongues, I speak in tongues more than you all. Paul said that. Because in verse 4, he says, he that speaks in tongues speaks not unto men but unto God. Verse 2, sorry. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. In verse 4, he says, he that speaks in tongues edifies himself. You edify yourself. Pray much in tongues. Pray much in tongues. The beauty about praying in tongues is that you need not have what you are praying about. You need not have one prayer request. Just like Jesus, you are in communion. Pray much in tongues. Jude 20 says, beloved, build up yourselves on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And to pray in tongues a whole lot. Don't pray in tongues. Once in a while, pray in tongues a whole lot. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 3. Like I said earlier, prayer should not be a hobby. Prayer should be an exercise you engage, you undertake regularly. 2 Timothy 1 3, I thank God whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Rule out any other possibilities, it meant that Paul prayed how often? Night and day. When the Bible says night and day, it simply means all the time. Learn to pray in tongues a lot. As I'm teaching right now, pray in tongues. When you are going to bed, pray in tongues. When you wake up, pray in tongues. When you are going to work, pray in tongues. When you leave work, pray in tongues. You are training yourself unto godliness. Number three. Write this down, and it's very vital. Fellowship with Spirit-filled people. Fellowship, stay around people who are given to the things of the Spirit. Did you realize that in the book of Acts, as we're studying those directions, some came from others? Did you observe it? So you have to be in the right company to have that. Stay around Spirit-filled influences. There's a pastor who spoke to me in 2003. I hope I'm right. And then, it was funny what he told me, but he said, he observed that he had this man he submitted to who was his pastor, who I guess still is pastor now. But he observed that the more he listened to the man, whom he called his pastor, that He just notices that the gifts of the Spirit do not function in his church. Before I said anything, he gave me a reason for that. There's some people, they have the question and they have the answer. He said, yeah, really, I think the reason is because, you know, his emphasis is more on leadership and all that, which is the core of my calling. And so, you know, I understand that part. It's not against me learning the things of the Spirit. I'm just telling you what happened. You had given me the question, the answer, and another query. Because of ego. I said, so what exactly do you want? He said, I just think that if somebody can come to our church and just do the things of the Spirit, it will help me and all that. So he wanted me to come and do the work. I said, no. That I won't. I had a personal reason why I didn't want to preach in his church. So I said, you know what? I'll introduce you to someone who will come to your meeting and then teach the flow of the Spirit. But I said, it's interesting that the person you called your pastor is the exact opposite of biblical mentorship. I just had to drop that before I left. So that I won't stand before Jesus and be bare. I have to tell you, if you like, don't take it. Your taking it is not the issue. And I walked away. You have to realize that. Right company. Being around the right folks. Look at the issue of Acts 13. They were among people who knew to pray and fast and minister to the Lord. Watch your minister friends. When you call for prayer meeting, they run away. When you call for Bible study, you don't find them. You have to stay away from people like that. You have to. You must stay away. 1 Corinthians 15:33, Paul says, do not be deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. And he was talking about doctrinal influences. Not about, he wasn't referring to evil communication. Somebody is palming our hair, you palm your own. That's not what he's talking about. He was talking about doctrine. They corrupt good manners. And that's why Paul would tell Timothy to withdraw himself from anyone who preaches godliness as gain. Because why do I have to withdraw? Because man is a product of what? Influence. If you hear things often, even if you know it is wrong, if you know something is wrong and you keep hearing it, very soon you start to adjust your mind. Stay away totally. Stay around Spirit-filled influence. Paul was around Spirit-filled influence in Acts 13:2, and the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. That must have been through a third party. If you read the Acts 16 experience, the one in verse 6 to verse 9, when he said that they wanted to go to Asia and the Holy Ghost forbid them, the language in the Greek obviously did not come from Paul. You are around godly influence. People that can say, I sense something, brother. I sense something, sister. I sense we should take some time and pray more. You know, those are the kind of influences you stay around you, have around you. You know, there are some pastor friends that all they will do for you is make you ambitious. That last week, our offering moved from 200K to 2M. I said, Lord, only you can do it. I had two folks like me like that. They would call them after church. How was your offering? How much was it? They would say, 100K. Ah, that was years back. I was 85K. I was going on. Say, people are not learning giving. They now brought another person. Say, that one should come. When they were saying it, I was quiet. So they probably thought we were in the same cult. But I was quiet. I was just learning. You know, there are things you just watch. You won't show your marvel. So he said, they brought someone else. Say, we'll do a finance convention. They now told the guy the target. Say, we have target. So the two churches matched. They gave the guy target. The first day, the guy didn't hit the target. But he was sitting in the hotel room. The guy said, I went to meet him. You are sitting in our hotel room, you're not meeting target. Now what's going on? The guy apologized. Said, don't worry. Tomorrow, I will meet the target. He met the target. In fact, he went good measure, press down, shake it together, and run it over. So they gave him his own part of the target. Such influence is bad influence. You should not have a friend that pushes you into ambition, pushes you out of God's will, does not ask you to pray over something, just says, let's do it now. Be careful. Stay on the spirit field. Because there's some things that God will not tell you. He will tell somebody else to tell you. It's just important for you to be aware you have such people. We saw it in the life of the apostles. Somebody else would want to tell you. Stay in the... Look at Timothy, for example. In 1 Timothy 4:14, Paul says, neglect not the gifts in thee, given thee thy prophecy, and the laying on of hands of the elders. That means he took the elders to identify the gift of God in him. That's godly influence. People that can help you acknowledge God's will and purpose and plan in your life. Do you have friends that you don't pray together? You don't pray together. So this person doesn't always come around when it comes to prayer and study of God's word. You have friends that you can't sit down and just fellowship. I'm not talking about arguing scripture. I say, no, no, I won't take it. There was a guy like that in Melambi Hall in UI, I think it was 95. He said, no, they tore them their shirts over doctrine. He's not homologous. He says, no, it is asymmetrical. Bah! And they were separating them. No, but let's have times where you sit down with someone and just say, you know, let's just fellowship around God's word and see what the Spirit of God is saying to our hearts. Hallelujah. Godly influence. You can pray together. So you can say, hey, I want to do something. Can we just stand together in prayer? And you just wait upon the Lord together. You have friends like that. That you fellowship around. And they just make you sane. Don't go around friends that help you, that inspire you into, you know, unbridled desires. There's a people that when you relate with them, when you leave them, is lost that will be in your head. Lost. Lost of the flesh, eyes, and lost of the legs. Is lost. That's just lost. I have to be careful. I was there yesterday, and this friend like that, he said, the church, some of our standard in ministry. I said, yeah, yeah. You know? He said, you have to do standard. Say your equipment has to be top notch. Music equipment, I said, yeah, yeah. He said, kind of venue. And I said, yeah, yeah. So, we now started doing our flyers in the ministry. The bill that used to come back, there was one that said, I know, where do flyers? I said, that flyer is not standard. We thought the whole thing. Ah, my heart got giggy. Ah! But I said, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I said, bros, keep your standards. I don't want any standards. This depth overwhelming relationship. I invited one of our companies in 99. He said, this protocol. He said, don't come. Say, you know, the protocol. Say, where will I stay? I say, alumni center, UI. They put on light 10 to 12 or something. That one, natural AC. Take that thing. That one we can afford. He didn't come. And God came. You have to be careful. You say, what are you doing in ministry? Have you moved to the next level? Where are you? You are still where? Oh my God. Man of God, what's going on? See, I was an assistant pastor in the church in 96. So I used to take discipleship class, praise worship, prayer meetings, and all that, outreach. So the pastor now told us that he had a dream. And it, you know, mentioned the dream. I saw soldiers and all that. He saw this one, and he said, "So I said, sir, you know, why don't let's pray about it in tongues a bit more? You know that the inward witness is more reliable." He said, "Throw away that Hagin nonsense. See, I know all this Hagin thing. Is it not inward witness, but the voice of the Spirit? It's still small voice." He was telling me everything. I said, "Okay, sir." The evening of that day, I went to meet him. I'm leaving. It's trouble. Because it's not me. It's not every time me I'm led. I can also be that kind of, we don't need two of us in the same place. Let me have somebody who can be led. So that when me I'm not led, when me I'm copper, he can lead. We can't both be having the same problem. I hope you are getting my point. I said, "Oga, I'm leaving." Again, nonsense. For the eyes not to see evil, the whole body is the medicine. Did I get it right? For the eyes not to see evil, the whole body is the medicine. Are you true? There are some instruction in the scripture, it's called flee. You know, some say, what's the Greek word for flee? Flee. What's the original? Flee. Someone reduces the lean of the spirit, and you are still there. A man of God told me this. He said someone he was submitting to ministry, called him. "If I meet you on this same level this time next year, we are no longer friends." See? This man is teaching me to be covetous. Said he just severed that relationship. Because that's what it's going to lead you to. I must not meet you on the same level. Stay around spirit-filled influences. People that can ask you, "Did God ask you to do it?" You know, these are very important questions. Did God tell you to do it? Did God tell you to start branches? Did He ask you to hold that program? Did the Lord ask you to do? Did He tell you? Did you pray about it? Did you find time to wait on the Lord about this? Those are the kind of friends you keep around you. When you keep friends like that around you, you are training yourself onto godliness. Am I making any sense here? Friends that can pray with you. The guy tells you, I used to fast when I was a younger Christian. But now I found out that the bridegroom is here. Say, go and find a bride elsewhere. I walk away. That's a man giving to appetite. There's a man that said that to us in UI. And I told a friend, I said, "Watch this guy. He's going to land into trouble." And the man knew Bible. His Facebook profile now, he has fella. He gives. Yes. And he's now into African religion. Because you don't have control now. Said, "The bridegroom is here. Everything within. God within. Satan too within. Everything is within." Have godly influence. And finally, most importantly, learn to instantly obey the voice of the Spirit. Learn to obey the voice of the Spirit. Don't remove the word instantly. Learn to obey the voice of the Spirit. You should listen to this. Something about spiritual things is this. If you practice disobeying the inward witness, there will come a time you will not recognize it again. You know, you can practice ignoring. Now, inward witness is not fear, it's not condemnation. Don't get it. Some of us have been trained from you to be afraid. That's not inward witness. So. That is background witness. Now, if you get too used, you get used to just disobeying the leading of the Spirit. You are just used to it. Many times when I talk to married couples and they have problems and so on, sometimes I tell them that you, some of these things, you knew them in your spirit. There is no believer, let him be cannabis, very carnal, that does not have a prompting of the Spirit over any issue. What happens is that he was not paying attention. There's no one. There was a lady, she wasn't a spiritual person at all. Not one of the spiritual. She just came and said, sir, very innocently, that there's this guy she was going out with and planning to marry, and she just sensed that every time they were in church or around spiritual things, she had this strange feeling about him. She said, what does it mean? I said, I don't know. But one thing I know is that there's something you have to find out. So take some time out and pray over it. You will get clarity. She did. She found out the guy was gay. I mean, a very vital information. And a very nice guy. Very nice guy. In fact, the guy has niceation written all over him. Even me, when she told me, I wanted to doubt it. That guy? How can you say that guy? He was. So you will know in your spirit. So learn to follow your spirit. Learn to follow your spirit. Train yourself to obey the inward witness. Add this quickly. Know that what we are referring to is not monthly, yearly. It's something you can train yourself for on a daily basis. Let me say this. Learn to listen to God on simple matters, simple issues. So that when the, as it were, big matters come, you are prepared for them. Every day, give yourself to them. For example, the issue of prayer, pray always. Why do we pray always? Because prayer helps us recognize divine direction. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, praying always. Prayer is always an always thing. Romans 12:12, be instant. Colossians 4:2, always. Prayer is always an always matter. It's never seasonal. When you meditate upon the word of God, the same thing, you meditate day and night. Not when there is a problem. Exercise yourself frequently. For example, things like fasting. Give yourself to it. Give yourself to fasting. Fasting, if anything at all, teaches you discipline. Controls appetites. We have no instructions to fast. But we have a lot of examples of fasting. Jesus, for example, did fast. He did. And he taught about it. In Matthew 6, after teaching, when you pray, go inside, don't stay outside, let people see you. The next statement was also when you fast. He associated prayer and the conduct of it with fasting. In Acts 13:2, the one we just read, they ministered to the Lord and fasted. Congregationally, someone say, well, I don't believe in the congregation fasting, is private. Acts 13:2 was congregational. In Acts 14:23, when they were going to ordain leaders, elders, they prayed and fasted. Again, congregational. In 2 Corinthians 6 and 5, and 2 Corinthians 12 and 7, 2 Corinthians 11:27, 2 Corinthians 6 and 5, Paul mentions fasting. So people say, well, that fasting is hunger. No. In 2 Corinthians 11:27, he mentioned hunger separately. Fastings often. In case you don't know whether he fasts or not, go to Acts of the Apostles. Acts 13:2, he was fasting. The very next chapter, Acts 14:23, he was fasting. Have such spiritual discipline. Please, for me, I'm closing now. Exercise yourself. Do it often. It's a training of the spirit. Do it often. Exercise yourself. Train yourself. Like the example of Portos I gave to you the other time, make it something you do often. For example, set a time for yourself that once every month I'll just have a personal one day retreat. I remember it's kind of when you have such retreat, you are able to reflect very well. You can sit back, reflect, observe where you have been forward, observe where you have been in the flesh. You mark your script all by yourself. Prayerfully. Then replan again. I can't say that I can do this every month. Just pick a day. A day. And just spend that time to listen. To know what God wants you to do. Divine direction is something that happens once. Then you know the entire plan of God for your life forever. No. You have to keep following every step of the way. If Jesus could commune with the Father to walk in His will all the time, how much more you and I? Exercise yourself. You are going to do it yourself. Nobody will do it for you. Nobody will fast for you. Nobody will pray for you. Nobody will hear God for you. Nobody will meditate for you. It will be your duty. Nobody will give you God's will for you. You have to do it by yourself. It's your duty. Kill yourself. Give yourself to it. Hallelujah. Speak to as many of us here that are young ministers. There is no better time to set your sail. Don't wait till life's challenge is creeping. All the things you are hoping to achieve first, they are the things that will disturb you. The things you are trying to let me settle this one first, let me settle marriage first, have kids, let me sort out financial issues first. They are the things that will keep you away from what you want to do forever. God recognizes them as worldly distractions. They're not sinful. And then you want to first of all start with distractions. As a big help. Keep yourself to this. Train yourself to minister of the gospel. How can you not know the leading of the Spirit? It's too expensive not to know. Train yourself. I'll share about that in the afternoon of spiritual pastoring. You must not be led by what is in vogue. In our church, we do not plan looking at what our people doing. We don't even know. We don't even know what that is. And we don't even care to know. When we pray, what is God telling us? What does He want us to do? There's nothing we are doing today that we did not know years ago. We do. And there's nothing we are going to do 10 years time that we are not saying we are going to do now. There's no hurry. We don't plan projects. It's always saying we want to do this. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. We are not under pressure. I know a man of God, he will rather God's word fails than his own word fall to the ground. He will rather that the word of God fails. I say to God, it has to happen. Are you a human being? You have to be careful. They are not trying to keep up with the Joneses, trying to tell people that if I said something was going to happen, and the man has led people astray. I was young when the man said publicly that the day you find that I'm ill, let no animal be well. And he has private physicians that treat him every day. And he has sent many boys and girls, some to early graves. Be careful. They are not just pursuing ambitions. If it's about you, it can't be about Jesus.
If it's about Jesus, it can't be about you. So pick one. Train yourself to hear from God. Sometimes you have planned so much and you say, not now. And the thing about God is that if you say when, He won't even say anything. He won't say anything. Not now. Just give me the dates so that I can put it on Facebook. The Lord spoke to me. That is not now. It's next year. You are hearing voices. Brothers and sisters, let's commit and commend ourselves to hearing from God.
Come breathe upon me, breath of God. Breathe upon me, Spirit of God. As I lift my hands in surrender to your will, Most High, I am yielding to your Spirit. I am watching what you say. Lord Jesus, I adore you. Lord Jesus, I adore you. Lord Jesus, I adore you.
Say it again.